Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville. Willie Donick in, I almost said Houston again, Seattle.
Keep doing that. What is wrong, Chase? You want to go to Houston?
I guess. I just won the World Series. I just want to go congratulate Dusty Baker. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. He finally wins the World Series as a manager.
Probably. Bam.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck going to join us here in just a second, as he does every Tuesday at noon. And he is, of course, presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, the liquor store redefined. And we are efforting to get him on the line right now. We'll talk about the Titans, what he saw from them Sunday night against the Chiefs. What's going on with the Bills? I mean, we haven't really gotten into that yet. Mm-mm. What could happen with Josh Allen? Let's say hello now to Tim Hasselbeck of ESPN. Timmy, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. I watched the Sunday night game, Titans and Chiefs, and then immediately, because we're best friends, I flipped over to Scott Van Pelt to watch you with SVP. You did a great job, as always. Really, really enjoyed the insight. But what did you think of Malik Willis' second career start?
You know, I think that it actually got off to a decent start. Because I think that, you know, he made a few plays. Obviously, they did some things with him in the run game. You know, he makes a back shoulder throw. You know, that I guess it would have been right before the half, I think it was, that was like, okay, like that's impressive. He actually ran a boot earlier in the game that, you know, was defended well. And you know, he kind of has to give some ground as he's escaping to his right, makes a really nice throw. And so I really thought, like at halftime, it was like, all right, like there's a lot to build on here. You know, like it hasn't been, you know, amazing or perfect, but like there's a lot to build on, especially with how they're running the ball. And then I think ultimately, you know, you can't go into Arrowhead and expect to, you know, beat the Kansas City Chiefs if, you know, you don't make enough plays in the passing game, and essentially zero plays were made in the passing game in the second half.
Yeah, and they relied on Derrick Henry. What is your concern level? I mean, this AFC is wide open right now, and with Josh Allen being evaluated for his elbow injury, I mean, that could make it even more wide open. But if you're the Titans, how concerned are you going into this stretch, even though you're playing a down Denver team, a down Green Bay team, if you don't have Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, here's what I would say. I'm actually not concerned from that standpoint. I know Mike Vrabel would never say this, but like I would be encouraged by what happened on Sunday night, because Ryan's not going to be out forever. And so whether it's 1 week, you know, or maybe 2 weeks more, I mean, who knows? But like I'd be shocked if it was beyond that. I would be really encouraged by how the defense played, how the offense is running the football. Like, I would be excited about that, and also know with Ryan that you would make more plays in the passing game than you made on Sunday night. Now, I'd also just say this, like, you know, for anyone who saw the sequence of plays for Josh Allen, it is a bit curious. You know, he's going to throw the football. The ball gets knocked out of his hands. It's definitely a bad-looking play for Josh Allen in terms of, like, did he really hurt his elbow? Because I thought he did live. I thought the way that he was grabbing at it, you know, certainly was alarming. Now, he launches the ball way down the field, I believe the very next play. And I would just say this, like, if they're evaluating his UCL, which is what they've said they're doing, and he can't go, or there's some concern there because of the long prospects of his career, Buffalo no longer is a playoff team. There's mm-hmm. not, and like I like Case Keenum, friends with him personally, all of that, but they are not a playoff team if Josh Allen is not their quarterback. So, like, that to me would be the concern. That changes everything in the AFC, and with how the Titans played against Kansas City on the road without Ryan Tannehill, like, I'm not afraid of anybody if I'm the Titans.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. He's with us right now. Before I turn it over to Derek, I got to ask you, I mean, you've worked with Jeff at ESPN, but Jim Irsay fires Frank Reich, and he hires one of your colleagues, Jeff Saturday. to be the interim head coach. I think we all were surprised by that part of it, not necessarily firing Frank Reich, but what did you think about the move?
I think firing Frank Reich, I think it makes sense with how things have gone. And I thought the way Irsay described it makes sense. Like, you hire good coaches and you try to add good players, and sometimes the math just doesn't work. And I think that's what happened in Indianapolis under Frank Reich. He's a good football coach. He's a good man. It just, the math didn't work. Now, it's, look, I'm no different than Jeff from the standpoint of being surprised by the hire. But I would also just say this, and I think, you know, I don't want it to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth on it. I would say this. I think it's going to be very difficult to win because they clearly are going to go play with Sam Ehlinger, and I think it's going to be hard to win football games with Sam Ehlinger. So, like, let me just say that off the bat. Now, I would also just say this about Jeff, and I know a lot of people are beating him up about not having coaching experience in the NFL, but here's what I would say with him. He has leadership qualities that most people do not have. And I don't care if you've been an assistant coach in the NFL for 15 years. Like, you are not going to get the leadership experiences that Jeff had, you know, because he played for a long time and was a captain and had leadership responsibilities in the NFLPA. Like, you're not going to get those. And I would just say that, you know, for everyone that's going to, you know, kind of trash his lack of experience, if Mike Vrabel would have gone from being a player to going and being a high school football coach, and the Tennessee Titans decided to hire him, and he didn't come with the Houston Texans and the Ohio State experience as a coach, I still think Mike Vrabel is a heck of a coach for the Tennessee Titans because of the leadership experiences that he gained, you know, through being a player for a long time, which could never be replaced by starting off as a, you know, a defensive quality control coach at your alma mater and then becoming, you know, a GA at some, you know, NFL team and then becoming a linebackers coach. Like, look, that stuff is good. Don't want to minimize it. But, like, I would argue that I don't think Mike Vrabel needed those steps.
Yeah, you might be, Tim, you might be right on that. I think Vrabel, especially this year, and I know last year a lot was made about last year and what he was able to do. But if they moving forward, if the Tennessee Titans can somehow, some way, you know, find a number one or number two seed, there's no way he can't be coach of the year. Again, I understand what they're doing down in Philly. I get it. But they got superstars littered everywhere. Here in Nashville, you don't. And if he gets this team in a position where they are the number one or number two seed, considering what's happening with Josh Allen, he has to be coach of the year again. So, but because he's doing such a phenomenal job. Yeah, you're right about that, Pete Carroll. But Pete Carroll, again, he has playmakers from the running back to the receivers, quarterbacks playing well, their defense is playing well, like the Titans' defense is as well. But he has playmakers at key levels. I don't think Vrabel has that. I think he has one legitimate playmaker on offense, and that's Derrick Henry. And somehow, some way, he's managed to, you know, duct tape this thing, and they find themselves in a situation where they're 5-3 with the schedule that we look at now that seems to be favorable to them. You know, at the beginning of the season, we didn't think that was the case toward the end. But we see Green Bay, we see Denver and the Chargers, and these are teams they got to play. So his schedule moving forward looks favorable to him.
Yeah, look, I would agree with that. And I would agree with, you know, just the job that he has done. I think there has been a assuredness from Mike Vrabel and his staff about the identity of the team that when it hasn't been clear, because they haven't been running the ball great, or, you know, there's been, you know, struggles on the offensive line, or, you know, they've maybe, you know, not played at the level defensively that maybe they were expecting to, that, you know, he kind of had this, he's had this approach where I think as other people have questioned it, as when there's been some doubt, he's just continued to double down on like his process of how he believes it's going to work with the players that they have. I think he's done a remarkable job of that. And you know what, D-Mace, I'm curious of what you think on the, like, look, you're a guy that played for over a decade. Like, I think there are elements of, like, and I'm not saying it's everybody just because you played 15 years in the NFL that you could become a head coach, but, like, I definitely feel like I was teammates with guys that, you know, they played a long time, and truthfully, like, they could go run a company, they could go be a head football coach, they could, and in some ways, like, they don't have to start, like, in their coaching career the same way, same spot everyone else. Like, I'll give you a teammate of yours. I think if Matt Burke would have wanted to be a head coach, his path should have been drastically different than somebody else's. Like that's how I feel about it. Like, I'd be curious what your reaction to that is.
Okay, we'll get that coming up next, Tim. We'll step away for a second because I think this is a fascinating conversation. More with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Coming up next, Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. But first, Willie, you have a word on Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000. Stop number 4 of the 5-game road trip. We're in Seattle, and it'll be the Predators and the Kraken tonight. Nashville looking to scratch out a third straight win here on this trip. And Lee Company is a big sponsor of our pregame coverage. I'll be part of that tonight with Chase, with Pete Weber, Max Hurst, and, of course, Skillsy on the call tonight. Lee Company, of course, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators in general. They've got a home game coming up on Saturday against the Rangers. You'll see the Lee Company display all over. What do they do? They've got all kinds of great services. General maintenance for you, home or at work. You got a problem that needs to get fixed. They're just a phone call away, 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. Also, make sure the heating unit is working properly. If you've used it a couple of times and it's not quite right, give them a call, 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. And while you're at it, ask about the home maintenance plan. It's long range, the best way to go. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
More with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. He joins us every Tuesday at noon, presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. An interesting discussion on, you know, former players and jumping into being a head coach. Because, like, I say this, Tim, I think you'd be qualified. I think your brother is another one that would be qualified if that was something that you wanted to do. Just because of how you read the game and you talk the game in both of you. But I said to Derek during the break, I said, my only concern with you, if you ever went down that path, is you're so competitive and you were such a competitive player that whenever there was a player that couldn't get to that level like you had, it would bug you and you would have a hard time with that.
Yep, you know, me and Michael Jordan, right?
Exactly. It's like, why aren't you on my level?
No, Tim, what you said about Matt Burke, I think it's true. Matt was one, and I played with him 2 years in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Matt was one of those guys, highly competitive, but he had an even keel. He didn't get too high, nor did he get too low. He understood the moment, and he pushed the people around him, the other offensive linemen. So he had a way with, you know, getting things done the way they should have been or should be. I think he would be, if he chose to go down that road, I think he would be an excellent coach. Because, like you said, it doesn't – I think coaching, head coaching has changed a lot, especially in 2022. It's great to know the X's and O's and be a great play caller offensively or defensively. But if you can't – be a leader of a bunch of 25, 26, 35-year-olds, then I don't care how good of a play caller you are, you're not going to last as a head coach. And I think that's where Irsay is sort of leaning toward. And he see what Tennessee is doing with Mike Vrabel.
And listen, here's what I think about it. Like, and I think you're right. Like, listen, all these head coaches are going to have a certain expertise. Mm-hmm. Look, Andy Reid has never been calling the defense. Andy Reid has been part of the offense. So, like, I don't care if you look at guys that have been, you know, worked their way up from the bottom, you know, in terms of, you know, how they got into coaching. But, like, here's the deal. Kellen Moore played just a handful of years as a player. But, like, he was the quarterback's coach in 2018. Now, he's an offensive coordinator today, but he easily could have been a head coach had he wanted to have been at a Power 5 school. Look, DeMeco Ryans is the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. He started coaching in 2017. He's a defensive coordinator of a team that a lot of people think could have Super Bowl aspirations. And it would certainly not be out of line for him to be offered a head coaching job at some point. You know, so are we going to say that experience? I can go down the list. Like, I played with Antonio Pierce at the Giants and in Washington, for that matter. That guy could have been a defensive coordinator the minute he stopped playing. You know, Mike Kafka is getting rave reviews at the Giants as their offensive coordinator. Like, he started coaching in 2016 as a Northwestern graduate assistant. Like, Jeff Saturday, like, for him, like, he just happened to play for a decade and a half. So I just think that there's elements. I'm just a little surprised to see people, like, somehow, because he has not been, you know, sitting in a dark room watching film, you know, for 10 years, that he's not, I don't know, not capable. Listen, in saying all this, I don't think the Colts are going to win a bunch of games and all of a sudden, like, he's going to prove everyone wrong. I don't think they are because of their quarterback. But I don't know. I think that it's way too narrow in terms of, you know, how we're looking at, you know, this. I would just say this too. Like, seems like everyone wants Deion Sanders to be the head coach at Auburn, but, like, can't believe that somebody's, you know, with Jeff's resume is so unfit to be in charge in Indianapolis.
Got a little Ted Lasso vibe to it in some ways.
It's normal, but
I say that with, you know, kind of being serious, because it is about leadership. If you watch Ted Lasso, it's started off as kind of a, well, we don't really care if we do well. This is kind of, we almost want to lose, but Ted Lasso ends up being, you know, a great leader, you know, even though he doesn't have experience in. So I'm just, I don't know. I'm maybe a little bit of a reach, but you see where I'm going. Here, let me switch gears here, Tim, and ask you, it's really interesting. After the Titans lost to the Bengals in the playoffs, there was a lot of saber rattling. Tannehill can't win. Hey, let's try to make a bold move. Let's try to see if we can pry Aaron Rodgers out. What about Russell Wilson? Well, the next two games are against Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, and both have had their struggles big time with their teams right now, and the Titans might have to face both of them without Ryan Tannehill. I'm not sure how quick he'll be back. If he's back, he certainly won't be 100% probably with a Sunday-Thursday combination. So let's hit both of those projects right now. What are you seeing with the Broncos? Is there any chance they can get going? They got the big win in London against the Jaguars team. The offense is really sputtered. Where can it go from here?
Yeah, I think the offense is completely disconnected still. Like, that's been something that like, the quarterback has not played well. He's not played on time. And look, maybe we think these, like, young, talented receivers maybe were a little bit better than they actually were. So, to me, that's still a very offensively disconnected team. You know, they've since traded away, you know, probably their best pass rusher. So, like, that – look, they're still an NFL team. You know, they still look at, you know, their players are getting paid as well. But that's a team, if you are if you're a team that feels like, hey, we're going to win our division type of caliber team, which the Titans are, you need to win that game, you know. And so that's what I would say about that. And then as it relates to Green Bay, look, I don't know that anybody could have seen this coming, but they look horrible. Like, offensively, they look about as bad as you can look. And what's shocking to me is that, Aaron Rodgers has dominated the NFL the last 4 years, dominated it. Like touchdown to interception ratio that we've never seen before over that time frame. And okay, you look at his three interceptions against Detroit, they're all on him. Like they're bad plays by the quarterback. And so with all this griping about, hey, let's get him more help, he's underperformed, at least recently. And so, you know, with that being said, same thing. Like, can they beat anyone? Sure. But that's a game that you should win. Now, I think you need Ryan Tannehill for both, but that is 100% how I would see it for the Titans.
Yeah, and I don't know what the situation is going to be with Tannehill, but I look at the Broncos. They made the bold move to trade for Russell Wilson. They thought they had the pieces in place. They just said, all we need is the quarterback now. What about the outlook long-term for Wilson? Do you feel like he can bounce back if they can get things straight? Do you think it's more scheme, or do you think he's aging fast?
Yeah, I may be overstating this, but I think Russell Wilson and generating excitement for the franchise had something to do with the sale of the team. That's what I think. Now, do I think the football people there thought that Russell Wilson could still play? Yes, I do. But I think that move was related to the sale. I feel like it was kind of a momentum thing. We're close. We're going to win. Excitement, all of that. And it hasn't worked out. Now, do I think that, you know, it's going to be like a Matt Ryan situation? Look, I mean, here's the reality is like when these guys have signed these deals, like they're tied to them.
Yeah.
And I want to say Matt Ryan is due like $20 million next year. So, you know, I don't know, like, is he there next year? I mean, Russell Wilson, I'm pulling up here quickly, like Russell Wilson in 2022, you know, the money gets up there fast. So, look, next year, I mean, dead cap of $107 million?
I mean, it's huge. Like, they signed him to a massive deal.
I mean, that's almost incomprehensible. So, I mean, that's not what I thought it was going to be. Like, that to me is, you know, I think Matt Ryan's is, you know, is north of 20, but it's still, you know, kind of debilitating to your franchise. But like you're dead cap, sort of move on from him. 100, I don't think you can. I don't know how you do that. I mean, listen, I'm saying that and I'm looking at it now. Yeah, Matt Ryan's dead cap next year is $18 million. So like they're not the same. So that's shocking to me. If you couldn't tell by the sound of my voice, that's insane. I mean, Russell Wilson's there for a while. That's not changing.
No, they're stuck. They are stuck with him.
The owner can't fire himself.
No, for sure. That's Tim Hasselbeck joins us every Tuesday at noon. Hey, Tim, appreciate the time as always. And I just saw Schefter reported you've been named head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, one of your former teams. So congratulations on that.
Let's go. Thanks. You're my first hire. You know that.
All right, cool. I'm the get back coach.
Was Schefter still in the Kirk Cousins get up there with the shirtless look?
He was.
Please. You know something? I will say this. Schefter's age, still in pretty good shape, but how he agreed to doing that is beyond me. Right.
I was embarrassed for him.
By the way, you're going to be my signaler and the get back coach.
Perfect. Oh, so you got two jobs.
Man, that's awesome.
Signaler and the get back coach. I love it. All right.
That's how much I trust you.
I know. I know. I'll see you. I'll see you in the team meeting tomorrow.
All right.
Thanks,
see you, boys.
Tim. Yep. Later. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst.
Make sure you go to the right city, though, Chase.
Yeah, there. I've struggled with that today.
Exactly.
The game is in Houston.
Why? Lovey's like, who are you?
Yeah.
Hey, Hey, I'm the new get back coach. Wrong team, buddy.
Not here. Somebody may have hired you, but it wasn't us. Oh, we will continue this discussion coming up next here on Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.